welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Good, and I've got news. This is the first solar-powered podcast. It's a little cloudy, but I just checked, and we've got about 2 kilowatts going. We just installed solar panels on our roof here in Athens, and it's kind of fun to see the when the sun shines, it makes it that much nicer, I guess.
Yeah, we did that here in California at the end of the summer. It's amazing. We generate 100% of our electricity now. We don't have that many cloudy days, but even during the months of December and January, when it was relatively cloudy, we generated 100% of our electricity. So it's cool. We're going to talk about a common diagnosis, one that we all see and perhaps see more commonly in the winter when people are close together, and perhaps in the spring when there's allergens in the air. And I'm talking about red eye, a common presenting complaint, lots of etiologies. While some people with red eyes need urgent ophthalmologic referral, most of them can be treated by primary care doctors. I was surprised at how little evidence there really is around the epidemiology, the diagnosis, and the treatment of red eye. Most red eyes is due to what we call conjunctivitis, an inflammation of the conjunctiva. It has sort of two etiologies. It can be either infectious or it can be allergic. Those are the ones that we see most commonly. Measurement of visual acuity and findings on a pen light exam are essential, but there are also some really important questions that can help us in making the diagnosis. For example, is the person's vision affected? Is there a foreign body sensation? Is there photophobia? Are you sensitive to bright lights? People with photophobia have a much higher threshold for needing to be examined by a clinician and maybe even an ophthalmologist. Was there trauma? Are you a contact lens wearer? Is there discharge and discharge other than tears? Does that continue throughout the day? And commonly morning crusting followed by watery discharge for the remainder of the day is characteristic of lots of self-limiting processes like allergies and styes and viral conjunctivitis and allergic conjunctivitis and dry eyes and the like. Bacterial conjunctivitis and bacterial keratitis cause opaque discharge. You found a poem from the American Journal of Medicine. It's a very nice summary. It asks the question, what signs or symptoms are indicative of serious eye disease in patients who present with red eye or a bacterial cause in patients with presumed conjunctivitis? The meta-analysis, what conclusions did they come to?
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of meta in the analysis. It was, you know, they only found, I think, 5 or 6 studies. But in any case, it tries to pull together the best of a fairly weak body of evidence on this. And they searched PubMed, and they limited their search to only English language studies. So that may be part of it. There may be some other studies out there that either are indexed in MBASE or differently, or that didn't necessarily use English language. Just as a side note, I do a lot of meta-analyses, and recently we've done away with language restrictions because Google Translate is just so good. We can do the Google Translate. I can take Japanese, Chinese, Russian, and it's intelligible. The article, once you copy and paste it into the Google Translate, it's pretty cool. So anyway, just on a side note, no excuse anymore really for doing that, to limit it just English. Anyway, they found 2 groups of studies. So one was enrolling patients with presumed conjunctivitis. Maybe they had a respiratory infection. They had, sudden onset of pink eye. And then another group, and all of those patients also had a bacterial culture. So they were examined, and then they had a bacterial culture. And there was a second group that had red eye that was painful, and all of those patients underwent a slit lamp examination. So really kind of 2 different clinical presentations and pictures. There were a total of 5 studies, about 1,000 patients in all of the studies. And basically, serious eye disease, a uveitis or keratitis or a corneal abrasion, scleritis, that kind of thing, acute glaucoma, that was most common in patients who had an anisocoria. So if they're the red eye was smaller by at least a millimeter than the non-red eye. That was a big predictor of a serious problem. Photophobia also, and having had a keratitis myself a couple of years ago, the first thing I noticed was just intense photophobia. And so if you directly illuminate, shine a light in their eye and it provokes significant photophobia, that's a strong predictor of some kind of a serious underlying pathology. And you can, if you elicit photophobia by a finger-nose test or indirect illumination, even if just indirect light causes photophobia, which was in my case, that has a likelihood ratio of 29 for having some sort of serious underlying problem. The other group looking for, is it a bacterial conjunctivitis versus viral or allergic? They found a few things that are worth, always checking for and that can increase or decrease the likelihood. Matting of both eyes in the morning and having a purulent discharge, not surprisingly, were the best things at ruling in bacterial conjunctivitis. If they had no morning glue eye, so the eyes weren't stuck shut in the morning, and if the eye wasn't that red, so if from 20 feet away, I don't know how you would do this test, and I don't have any 20 feet distance in our office, but if from 20 feet away you can't tell that their eye's red, that tends to rule out a bacterial cause. Bacterial conjunctivitis tends to be a more intense redness than viral or allergic conjunctivitis.
Of course, it could also rule in color blindness on the part of the examiner.
There you go.
Doesn't look red to me.
No, it looks fine. So I think it was good to another thing that came out of these three studies. So it was only three studies with about 300 patients, but 45% had positive bacterial cultures. So it's about a 50-50 chance that it's bacterial, which means that, half are non-bacterial and don't really benefit from the eye drops. So if someone, given that you're starting from 50%, if they had a purulent discharge or there was matting of both eyes in the morning, the likelihood goes up to 80%. If they don't have glue eye in the morning, it goes down to 17%. So, that could be useful in terms of directing care. I think most of us prescribe, if we think it's infectious, we'll prescribe antibacterial drops, but this could help you target it a little better or at least be more confident that you're giving it to the right folks.
Very interesting. It's nice, even though it's a small collection of patients, only 300, it's nice that someone's taking the time to review it and help us come up with some markers. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.